This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm your host, homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. I've been a part of the homeschooling movement for nine to two generations, going on three. As my folks started to homeschool us back in the mid-1960s in Oregon and then on into Japan. And homeschool in the 60s and 70s, now homeschooling our own five children. My son is 21 years of age, and we have graduated two out of five at this point. Also served as Christian Home Educators of Colorado Executive Director for about 12 years, and now still director for that organization. And so I have a concern and interest in home education. And friends, there are some tragic things that happen in homeschooling as well. Homeschooling is no panacea. There's no cure for all. It certainly can help in protecting our children from certain external influences. However, the cultural and media influences are everywhere. I mean, they are omnipresent. They slip in under the doors and through under the carpets and through the youth groups and from the friends and the neighbors and into the iPods and then into the ears and the brains of our children. So it's impossible to separate our children entirely from the culture around and the cultural influences. Moreover, it's hard to separate our children from their own hearts. In fact, it's impossible to do so. Without the attendant work of the Spirit of God in the midst of us being good parents and using the means of grace and teaching them the ways of God every day as we sit in the house, as we walk by the ways, we rise up and we lie down. If we don't have the attendance of the Spirit of God in the process, friends, we can have a big, big problem on our hands because the human heart can do just about anything. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah tells us, and I believe that. You certainly ought to believe it if you read the news. If you have ever read the news, then that really ought to substantiate Jeremiah pretty much every day. If you ever get a newscast and you find out what men can do, the evil that men can do, and the extent of that evil that men can do, you will be in agreement with the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17 when he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Well, I'm referring this morning to the tragic murder in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was the worst homeschooling murder in homeschooling history, as far as I know. And we've been tracking this for the last 10 years or so. And granted, friends, if you have millions and millions of people involved in anything, you're going to have a certain number of murders. In fact, the murder rate in America for teens is about 1 in 10,000, or anywhere from 10 to 20 out of 100,000. Or between 1 and 2 out of 10,000. So that's the murder rate for teens in America. And it turns out the murder rate for homeschool teens is about 1 in a million. So homeschoolers are doing about 100 times better in terms of not seeing as many murders each year as you see in the national average. The national average is much, much higher. It's about 100 times higher than what you find among homeschoolers. And yet you're going to see these sorts of things. And that, my friends, is what happened in New Mexico over the weekend. And many of you have already read this in the news, but the New Mexico teenager accused of gunning down his family over the weekend had reloaded his guns after the attack and planned to go to Walmart and randomly shoot people, authorities said on Tuesday. Instead, 15-year-old Nehemiah Griego texted a picture of his dead mother to his 12-year-old girlfriend, then spent much of Saturday with the girl they said. The two went to the church where his father had been a pastor, happened to be Calvary Chapel, and Griego eventually admitted killing his parents and three younger siblings, and on the story goes. Friends, this is a very, very, very tragic thing, and we feel terrible for what's going on south of our border in New Mexico. We have had a number of these. I think we had two or three of these happening in Colorado over the last 6 or 7 years. I'm going to review that in just a moment. But this is very, very, very tragic, and it is affecting New Mexico. This may be one of the more tragic murders in all of New Mexico's history, all the way back to Billy the Kid and what Billy the Kid was doing as a teenager in the latter part of the 1800s. All right, my friends, sad news from New Mexico with the murders happening down there. Dave Buhner's in studio with me. I want to also get on the horn with Dr. Brian Ray in just a moment because we have been on and off the phone with Dr. Ray from the National Home Education Research Institute and also with our friends from the New Mexico homeschooling organization. So we've been on the phone with these folks. We've been praying with them. We're trying to figure out the best way to explain these sorts of things. But friends, when it comes down to it, there's no control in the human heart. It is out of control at points, and you're going to find these sorts of things happening as long as sin affects this world. And we're going to look at some of the causes for this kind of thing. Actually, as it turned out, and I just read what caused it, the young man admitted to being angry with his mother. And that's, Dave, I mean, it's hard to believe that somebody could be angry and actually murder, but you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that which defile a man. To eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. Jesus said, out of the heart comes these murders. And in fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he warns us of, or Matthew chapter 5, he warns us of the anger in the heart. And if a young man is angry against his mother in his heart, he has already murdered her in the heart, even if he hasn't done it externally. Now, from time to time, these things betray themselves externally, and we can't deny this. It happens, friends. Anger and hatred in the heart is the ultimate source of this kind of thing. Now, Dave, I'm guessing there are probably hundreds of these murders that go on in any given year where there are young men who get angry with their mothers. In fact, there was another homeschool boy in 2012 down in Texas, got angry evidently with his mother and with his sister, and he committed a murder then as well. There are hundreds of these that go on in any given year. As I said, you get 100 times increase on the rate of this kind of thing amongst those who attend public schools, or at least that's the national average. Among homeschooling, we find it's happening about once every 500,000 homeschoolers, or one in every million homeschoolers, somewhere in there. So you have a much, much, much larger rate of murder amongst the average person attending the average public school in America versus what we see in homeschooling. Nevertheless, apparently there are these kind of murders that happen. And Dave, I think what happens is there's a lot of anger in the hearts of a lot of boys. Dave, I mean, I walk around in our church, and I know there's anger in the hearts of a lot of boys and a lot of girls. And there's a lack of forgiveness. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lack of forgiveness of parents. And when you get these kids into close relationship in the home, you know, you probably increase the tension, and you may even, you know, increase the possibility of some kind of an explosion. Maybe not all the way to murder, but if you bring people into close proximity who don't like each other and have never learned to deal with the anger in their hearts, have never gone to the cross with it, have never really repented and understood that the blood of Jesus Christ really does cleanse evil, rotten, bitter, angry hearts. If they've never really done that, who knows what these hearts are going to do if that anger blows up? If there are tens of millions of angry boys and girls in America, Dave, no surprise if the tip of the iceberg plunges out and some 200 or 300 murders happen in any given year.
Kevin, while it's true that this is the man bites dog type story, this is unusual. We don't expect these kinds of results in homeschooling, and it's more common in a different environment. We should not deny that there is evil in the world. And what is evil? Evil is those people who defy God. And they defy his law. They defy his authority. It would appear that this young man who did these murders was very angry at God and his parents, who were trying to teach him the things of God. And in order to lash out at God, he decided to destroy God's authorities, his parents, and God's creations, his siblings. Now, there was 10 children in the family, but really, did the two-year-old, was he angry at the two-year-old? Because he murdered a two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he would murder the two-year-old would be the very same reason that Satan would try and destroy those created in the image of God, because they reflect the glory of God, and he's in rebellion against the God who created him. In other words, he's suppressing the truth in really outrageously wicked unrighteousness. And what we have to deal with here is not the gun, not the homeschooling, not even the fact that he wore camouflage or he is restricted from movies. What we have here is a vile, rebellious heart of sin.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need to go to that immediately. We went straight to Matthew chapter 15, 19 and 20, because that's where murder comes from. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there arguing over all the nurture issues, but they don't want to talk about the nature thing. They just say there's got to be a reason why he did this. There's got to be a reason why Jesus says there's a reason why he did it. It's because there's murder in his heart. And that murder flowed out and wound up with tremendous destruction to his own family. And friends, I'm telling you, the human heart is a dangerous thing. May God deliver us from the evil that lurks within the human heart. And that, my friends, is the prayer that we need to pray. In fact, on Sunday, Dave, I exhorted our congregation to pray that little thing, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because, hey, any one of us could become Matthew Murray. And that's what I said on Sunday, because I was referring to, you remember the YWAM killer, the homeschool kid that did the YWAM killings here in Colorado. Anybody can turn into this thing. If it's not for God stepping in and delivering us from the evil within our own hearts, we're going to be in trouble. Nevertheless, there are nurture issues. And so I don't mind talking about both of them. And we're going to talk about both of them because both are important. Nature is important. Nurture is important. Both are important in what happens. As it turns out, there weren't nearly as many incredibly violent outrages with guns and patricide and parricides going on in 1880 and 1890. No, there were a few. But remember, the murder rate until 1910 is... The number of murders in America in 1910 was about 210 in the whole nation, over 100 million people. The murder rate in America has increased by about 25-fold over the last 100 years or so. And there weren't nearly as many, not nearly as many parricides and patricides going on in America back in the 1880s, 1890s, 1900s. And you say, well, what's the difference? There's a huge difference. America's a different nation today. And Dave, violent media does play an important part in these sorts of things. I mean, Dave, I just did a little research again on the last two murders, the Jake Evans murder in Texas in 2012, and then this one, down the Grego murder case down in New Mexico. It's both, Dave, again, violent media. Court documents in the Aledo Capitol murder case show that Jake Evans told Sergeant Rick Crosley of the PC Sheriff's Office that he watched Rob Zombie's Halloween film three times the prior week. This movie features the main character killing several as a child and later as an adult. This includes the character's sister and one other family member, which is exactly what this boy, Jake Evans, did. He was a 17-year-old homeschool kid, did in 2012. And then, Dave, you picked up that little piece that one of the neighbors said they weren't allowed to watch violent movies. And I told my wife, I said, yeah, right. You know, like, yeah. The strictest families typically have the most rebellious kids who do everything they want to do under the ground. And they do it anytime they want to and whenever they want to do it because they're rebellious. And that's what happens. And so I said, yeah, I'll bet that boy had as much access to whatever he wanted as he wanted to. And in the press conference this morning, listened to the press conference, and sure enough, someone had the same question I did. The question was, neighbor said that he was not permitted to play violent games. Was he playing violent video games undercover? That was the question. Here was the answer. The detective, lieutenant, answered the question. He has admitted to playing those video games. He enjoyed playing those types of video games. He played those games on a regular basis. Okay, that was the answer that he gave. This is pretty much 100% of every single teen killer that we have ever studied. And of course, we interviewed the fella on who wrote the book Inside the Mind of the Teen Killer about 2 months ago on this program. And this man did verify the fact that this is a major factor. In fact, he couldn't think of a case in which they had not listened to the music of Marilyn Manson or the Kill, Kill, Kill lyrics of some other rap band or played the violent video games and watched the Halloween films and all the rest. He said, that's just, of course they did that. That's all part of the game. That's how you get to murder. It's part of it. Not all of it. Just one nurture element in the development of the teenage killer. And so, friends, do not minimize the importance of culture in developing these massive, massive social sores that are developing on the social body of the American public.
Kevin, I doubt that the parents had a whole lot of control over this kid. One thing we do know about him is that he created a profile on this website called Meet One, where you're supposed to be over 18 years of age, and he lied about it to create a dating profile where he claimed he was a fun-loving guy. So obviously that's not being done under the strictest observations of parents.
Yeah.
So to say that their parents did not allow, with their knowledge, violent video games or violent movies may be true, but the kid was not obeying the parents anyway. Turns out that a parent can make all the rules they want, but unless they get the heart of the child, and that only happens by the work of the Holy Spirit, but unless you capture the heart of that child for Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how many rules you have. Mm-hmm. You're simply putting fake fruit up on a tree and calling it a ripe fruit tree.
Yeah. And not to say that there is an importance for rules and structure in a home. But friends, you got to have a little relationship there too. And let me say this, Dave, I don't know what the situation of this family is, but I tell you, I've been doing a lot of counseling for a long time with a lot of families, Dave, and I tell you what, for the most part, angry kids have angry dads. I'm sorry that's the way it is, but I'd say for the most part, there may be exceptions to the rule. But there's a lot of angry parents that have angry kids, and Dave, a lot of times what happens to these kids is they take the anger of their parents and they multiply it by 10. They add an order of magnitude, and then it's out of control at that point. So I think sometimes, friends, we got to remember it's not just about rules. It's also about relationships. It's important to have rules in the home, And it's also important to have relationships with our children as we try to incorporate those rules. I talked to our young men down here in the basement. Dave, we have them here for Tuesdays and Wednesdays at the Shepherd Center. And we were talking about violent media and violent games and music and all the rest. And I said, guys, you got to have a lot of accountability with your media, because the media has a huge impact on people's hearts. It does nurture the hearts, oftentimes in the direction of pure darkness. It does take them in certain directions. And so be careful. You need to be in accountability. You need to, you know, unplug your iPod. Let your dad know what you're listening to and interact with what you're listening to. And allow your dad to speak to that. And your mother as well. And respect your parents when it comes to this media stuff, because you could become a Matthew Murray. You could become this young man who's confessing to these murders down in New Mexico. You could become like that unless you open your heart to discussions, confess your sins, begin to talk about these things, get them out into the open. And otherwise, boy, there's some really terrible things can happen in some of these situations. Dave, you know, we've had a number of murders, homeschool murders. Remember the Borden murders? We covered that in 2005. I mean, we've been on the air for 7 years, friends. We've been the homeschool radio broadcast for 7 years. And 7 years ago, we covered the Borden murders where David Ludwig and his girlfriend were involved. I think it was David Ludwig, however, who was sentenced to life in prison in 2005 for the murders he committed for, I believe, murdering his girlfriend's parents. Then there was the Burlington murders in 2011, and that 12-year-old murderer, by the way, got only 7 years, Dave. He murdered both his parents and almost murdered his siblings, and he only got 7 years out of that. Of course, that's not biblical justice, sadly. Biblical justice, very, very, very clear. There's no way of getting around it. You're going to find it in the New Testament. Paul talks about being guilty of capital crimes, and that's something that can happen. But also you have Genesis 9:6, one of the most plain, most important biblical passages concerning murder in the Bible. The Bible does not make exceptions for young people. I know that the goody-two-shoes little do-gooders of the 1910s and 1920s tried to introduce juvenile courts, and I know they've been pretty much abolishing all biblical justice ever since, but biblical justice really, really stands firmly on the issue of capital punishment for this kind of murder. If there was hate in the heart, it's lying in wait. If there's any form of anger, hatred, lying in wait, certainly in this case, this boy confessed to hanging around in the closet for 4 to 5 hours waiting for his father. There was a lot of hate in the heart, a lot of anger confessed to, and a lot of lying in wait. No question at all, at least according to the police officers and the data they've collected to date, that this boy is absolutely, absolutely to be convicted of capital murder and ought to be hung in the state of New Mexico, or go through some form of capital punishment in the state of New Mexico. That according to biblical law. If you're going to apply a biblical worldview to life and you think that the civil magistrate is to be informed at all by biblical law, friends, the most basic biblical law that has ever been recorded is Genesis 9 and verse 6. It's the only law coming out of the reestablishment of human society after the flood, and it is capital punishment for murder. If a man sheds another man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's what it says in Genesis 9:6, and that ought to hold true for the Burlington murder as well as the murder down in New Mexico. By the way, Matthew Murray was another example of one who murdered in 2007. I think I referred to that. Friends, these were the examples. We have five examples of homeschool murders in the history of homeschooling. That's not very many when it comes down to it. The rate is right around 1 in 1,000,000. As far as we can tell, the rate for homeschool murders is about 1 in 1,000,000 as compared to 1 in 10,000 for the average public school teenager. Dr. Brian Ray will be with me next on the program. Stay with me, friends.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we're sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Today we're talking about the tragic, tragic murder case in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where a homeschool teen allegedly killed five family members in cold blood. And with me is Dr. Brian Ray. He's from the National Home Education Research Institute, and he's been on the program, a familiar friend, many, many times on this program. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
Brian, tough times, sad times for New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was your impression when you heard the story?
Well, it's you think sickening, and it's tragic whenever any teenager does something evil to his parents and family. It just is. It's just horrible.
Especially shocking when it's your own parents. I mean, there's just something there that is even worse. It even seems worse.
Yes.
Because they're close relations, the mother that had you and the father that you were to honor, you know, according to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, this terrible tragedy. Now, this somewhat affects home education. That's why we're talking to you right now. But, you know, news alert, homeschoolers do bad things. They do. I mean, homeschoolers can do bad things, too.
Yeah.
I don't think that should be a surprise, should it?
No. And I think the first thing people do, if they're sort of feeling like we're homeschoolers, died in the wool, don't be defensive. I mean, absolutely. If home education can guarantee all children get saved and are perfect forever all the way to heaven, then who wouldn't homeschool?
Yeah.
You know, everybody would homeschool. So don't deny the fact that there's sin and there's a basic nature of humans. And you're going to see some of that in homeschool families. Obviously, you see it in private school families and public school families. So don't deny that at all.
We need to remember that not every homeschool family is a Christian family.
True.
And a lot of Christian families, whether they're homeschooling or not, have all kinds of problems and struggles and issues with their children. And that's not unusual.
That's not unusual. Mm-hmm. And I think now a quick follow-up to that, Kevin, is before I forget, I don't want us to fall into, I call it the whatever fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah,
well, hey, cynicism, fatalism,
right.
It doesn't matter. I mean, look at this. A homeschool family did evil things, and a dad did evil things. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter what you do with your kids, how you raise them, what morals you teach them, whether you put them in an indoctrination center run by the government or not. Doesn't matter. Don't fall for that. That's bad logic.
The bumper sticker, bad things happen, except they don't use the word bad things.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that philosophy is not a good philosophy.
That's correct.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he's making progress. We need to believe in him. He solves issues.
Yes.
And we need to have faith
him. He ascended. He didn't just die and rise from the dead. He ascended, and he sits at the right hand of the Father as the judge, and he's in charge. So I want to remind people, you know, right away before we get into statistics and things, that God does say certain things. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. As a man thinks, so he is. The companion of fools suffers harm. So you don't want your children around foolish people, foolish music, foolish videos, foolish film. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. Yeah. That's true. And it's also wrong to cause a little one to stumble. And he tells us in Philippians to think about what's good and noble and pure and honorable. All those things are true things. And we know by the fact of the truth of the Word of God and by experience that when we follow God's principles, much better things happen than when we don't. So I don't want any parent to just feel crushed and depressed and think, oh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Yeah.
God is not a whatever God.
On the other hand, there are folks out there who use anecdotal evidence for everything. And, you know, as a statistician, I'm sure that makes you cringe.
When
people say, I know somebody who homeschools and they're very weird.
Yes.
You know, of course, my response to that is I know somebody who public schools and they're very weird. You know, that doesn't go anywhere.
No, where do you find dorks and nerds and greasers or whatever you used to call them when you went to school?
Right.
Well, I know you didn't, but anyway, they're all over the place. So we got to be careful of that.
We can't use anecdotal evidence. We have to just say, okay, step back, look at the statistics. you know, what is homeschooling doing and how effective is homeschooling? And of course, you studied 7,200 homeschool graduates. When your study Homeschool Grows Up, that was a great study. And it found that homeschoolers are actually doing very, very well. Thank you very much for the most part.
Yes.
But you get the flyers. You get the flyers.
Oh, yeah.
You always get the flyers.
In research, we call them outliers or deviants.
Right. And certainly this young man was a deviant in more ways than one.
Yeah, and it's horrible. I mean, this would be tragic whether we were talking about. See, I looked at the news headlines, and I looked at a newspaper out of New Mexico. I looked at one out of New York, and I looked at one out of England. And one of those three stuck homeschool teen in the headline.
Wow.
Now the question is, and I wrote to them immediately and said, you know, have you ever in your headlines put in New Mexico public school teen rapes girl?
Yeah.
New Mexico public school teen murders somebody. New Mexico public. You don't do that. You know, it's sort of sensational.
Sure.
But it's to be expected whenever you are part of a minority group. It's expected of people to look at you a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're kind of weird and they want to give you a little jab, maybe.
A little jab.
But it doesn't mean anything because the statistics really don't bear it out, do they?
No, they don't. And that's, you know, it's something that I tried to look at real quickly before we got together, Kevin. But I'll try to do this succinctly for everybody. But if you look at homicide offenders, that is those who murder others, ages 14 to 17, in the general population during the last period of time when the researchers kept track of it that we have data on right now, like the first half of the decade, thousands, it was about 10 per 100,000 population.
Okay.
All right. So that's 100,000 out of all Americans. So it's, anyway, let's just say 10 out of 100.
Okay.
100,000. 10 of 100,000.
Right.
Now, if you go look at all the news stories you can find best you can, being liberal, being generous, which is a horrible term to use in this context, maybe there were three homeschooled youth that same age group who murdered people.
Okay.
Now, when you knock that down to the per 100,000, it's something like 0.003.
Right.
Now, the listener is saying, what does that mean, Brian? Come on now.
Okay.
It means, if I did this right, there's a 3,300-time difference.
Yeah.
In other words, those who were not homeschooled were murdering people at 3,300 times higher the rate than those who were homeschooled.
So if you were not homeschooled, you'd be far, far more likely to commit murder than somebody who's been homeschooled.
Way more.
Right.
Yes. But it's the nature of the internet now. I mean, something bad happens, and it could be happening in a tiny town in South Africa, and you've got it right in your face on your desktop. And so it makes it feel like it's happening everywhere. And your listeners, Kevin, have to remember, just like you said, do not take an anecdotal story and blow it out of proportion. And it goes along with this. Correlation is not causation. You know, we all know that where there are more storks, the big birds, more human babies are born. Yeah, so does that mean that storks bring babies? No, it doesn't mean that. So just be really, really careful. Do not deny that some homeschool kids do bad things, but also don't fall for this false logic.
It's just a shocking and frightening.
It is shocking.
And difficult. You know, we talk about statistics, you know, but every one of these stories affects people's lives and the ripples into those who knew them and those who knew people who knew them and so forth and so on. You know, I've spoken to some people down in New Mexico and found that there were people who knew these people.
Sure.
And so you get to know people who knew people who were there. And you're hurting with them, and you wish that this kind of thing did not happen.
Yes, yeah.
You know, how to prevent? Have you thought about that much,
let's talk
Brian?
About that. You can be a little proactive here. I mean, let's think about this. If you have a child who's talking about things that seem odd, not just odd, but really strange, like I feel suicidal, or I want to kill myself, mommy, or I've been thinking about shooting people. Your antennae should be going really fast.
That's bad stuff.
That's bad stuff. That is not normal. Now, you know,
and apparently with this young man, he'd been talking about murder and suicide for the week previous.
Yeah, and so
at that point, they should have acted.
Yeah, you should act. If it's sort of just, you just barely heard about it, and, you know, I thought about killing myself once. You're immediately talking with your child, with your spouse. You're loving him. You're loving her. And then if you don't think you're helping or getting somewhere, immediately you go to mature people in your church and talk with them a little bit.
Yes.
Get them into, and then if it starts sounding really odd, like they keep talking about it, or they mention murdering people, you maybe should be going to government officials.
Absolutely.
You know, and you
absolutely.
And I know we could have debates here about, quote, Christian counseling, unquote, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you need some serious specialized help.
And
that
certainly,
stuff, that stuff is perverse.
Yeah. And it's certainly at some point, remove all guns from an accessibility to somebody
Sure.
who's murderous and suicidal. I mean, that should be a no-brainer. Now, granted, and here's the deal. Granted, you can't remove all the knives and sharp objects and everything else. You know,
Sure.
if the heart is filled with anger and hatred and there's murder there, you know, only the Spirit of God can solve some of these issues.
Yes.
But at least due diligence, DeBrian, yes. Don't you think? I mean, and again, I'm the most pro-gun guy there is.
I agree.
But,
I mean,
boy, at some point, kids don't need to have access to those guns, especially if they're not ready for
yeah.
it.
In the old days, they called that common sense.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
If you had a 17-year-old in the olden days and he was getting really odd like that, you know, you'd kick him out, banish him, and I guess he'd either have to go make a name for himself or end up in jail somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you took action.
Yeah.
You take action. And
mm-hmm.
you protect yourself and you protect your children. So now that kind of stuff, talking about murder, suicide, is something's very wrong.
Yeah.
It's very wrong in a person's life, and you need to help him right away. And if you don't think you're getting anywhere, and don't wait. Well, keep trying. Go get some assistance. That's the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's serious beyond that, you're getting government help there.
Yeah, and sometimes you can find people in the church who can help with that, a pastor or an elder.
Sure.
Sometimes just saying, okay, my son, you know, apparently dad isn't communicating very well. I'm not helping you. And a pastor or an elder might be able to step in, or a counselor might be able to step in and take the young man into his own home, into his ranch, into his, you know, wherever, and hopefully, again, a place where he'd be reasonably safe. And maybe try to work with him a little bit in that context. I'm just not sure that every parent has an out. See, Brian, I think this is one of the concerns. I think churches and communities really need to be talking about this. If there are families with serious, serious problems with their kids,
yes.
and a lot of them feel trapped because they know they can't just kick them out. I don't think the laws allow for that in most of the states. Mm-hmm. You know, when the 15-year-old son is a real problem, he's sort of a Matthew 15 case, as we sometimes say.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, you know, a man that strikes his mother or father should be put to death. I mean, that was a
yep.
pretty severe thing. But they even at that point, they knew they had to deal with it. You know,
yes.
they had to deal with kids that were out of control. And I think parents need to have some things they need to do. And as you said, call a biblical counselor, you know, call an elder, call a pastor in the church, really to deal with it, and maybe even include the county sheriff.
And I think, you know, Kevin, this makes me think of something. A mom or dad, if you're listening and you're thinking, well, you feel like you're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, right now we're not talking about you. We're interested in the glory of God,
mm-hmm.
and we're interested in this child's benefit and his soul. So get yourself, and don't be so self-centered and selfish to think that you're the failure and this is all about you and you're going to be embarrassed and you're not going to look good. You're for God. You're for the child. You're not for yourself.
And you need to protect your own children and
That's
your
right.
own family.
That's right.
You know, and you know what, Brian, I've been through this long enough to know that I can't do it by myself.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I'm this big shot who's supposed to be teaching everybody how to raise their children
yes.
well, you know, so, but you know, I've been sitting in front of the elders before in our church, you know, some of the other guys that are wise counselors in our congregation.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my son together with them and we came together and talked and confessed and, you know, shed some tears together and pray together. And, you know, I think parents need to be open to that.
Yes, absolutely. And you made me think of another thing here. I wish we had done this more. Our children are not all raised yet, but finding people outside of mom and dad in the family who love God,
mm-hmm.
are older, mature, and have fun talking with our children as they get older, to go out, you know, maybe once every 2 weeks for ice cream or
mm-hmm.
go on a walk together or something. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I mean, that's the body of Christ, and it really helps your young person to become more robust,
mm-hmm.
more able to talk with people. Yeah, Kevin, I think some of us are not so good at that. And maybe a lot of the evangelical church is not so good at that.
Well, and Brian, I hope that we can learn something from these things. You know, we do want to learn something. It's not just these things happen. These things happen because I think God is trying to teach us some things. And we can't explain all the reasons why these things happen. But certainly, hopefully, we can learn some from some of these things. And as leaders in the homeschooling movement, perhaps you and I can be of more benefit to help families as they disciple their difficult children through some very, very difficult circumstances. And we're kind of out of time at this point, Brian, but I want to say thank you for not just talking about the problem, but also kind of bringing out some of the solutions for us today.
Welcome. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
And folks, for more information on Dr. Ray and his research, and I really encourage you to get a copy of Homeschool Grows Up, you need to visit his website, nheri.org, N-H-E-R-I.org on the web. And friends, you can interact with our radio program by emailing me at any time at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.